Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Well, this morning what we want to do is we want to take an opportunity to look back at 2014 and what has been accomplished and just some of the things that you may know or you may not have known about what went on at your church and to look back at that. So we're going to kind of mix in some review videos. If you were here on Wednesday night, you saw some of those. And we're just so excited to look back and to see what God has done in the Inland Empire as well as here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. As well as looking back, we want to take the time to look forward. We kind of have labeled this, you know, Vision Sunday, or looking forward as to what God has in store for us. Every year, towards the end of the year, we look and we sit together as a leadership and as a pastoral staff, and we discuss and we pray and we open our hearts to hear from the Holy Spirit as to the direction or the mission that God would have us to be on. And every year we gather together and we make plans for that year. And the mission or the vision, the theme, I guess you could say, for this year is there on the wall behind me, is to love people more and to do church better. And today we're going to talk about what that means to love people more and to do church better. And we're going to explain that not just beyond what the church in general is going to do for that, but what that means to you and I who are the church. And as a way of doing that, we also want to look back at some of the things that have happened and some of the things that we've accomplished as a church together in 2014. And beginning with that, I just kind of want to show you a broad overview of the different services and the different events that we had here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. So if you would, draw your attention to the screens to look back at 2014.
Home, to those consumed with loving their King, this land, once barren and dead, stands tall as a reminder that our King is coming. With our halls filled with praise, we remain fascinated by the incredible acts of a King so deeply in love with us. His church serves as a beacon of hope and rescue to those outside its walls. Line after line and precept after precept, our King is made known.
Do you know that 2014 is going to be shaped by what you believe God for?
We're going to believe God for signs, wonders, and miracles. We're going to believe God for souls and salvations. We're going to believe God for new ministries to be birthed out of this place, for more people to be reached.
This is not a religion. This is a relationship with the God of heaven and earth, the star maker and the star breather.
When the devil comes and says you're no good, you're a bum, you're a loser, the high courts of heaven, the gavel has come down, and innocence, boom, is pronounced over you.
You want to overcome? You got to have faith. You want to get outside of the bondage? You got to have faith. You want to break free? You got to have faith. You want to win in life? You got to have faith. You want to be victorious? You got to have faith.
You are valuable. I don't care what your mama said. I don't care what your papa said. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what your boss says. I don't care what the sergeant of the army says. I don't care what the school teachers say. I don't care what your cousins say. To God, you are the most valuable commodity on the planet.
I pray that you'll begin to stand up and say no. Oh, hell no! You'll not have my family. You'll not have my marriage. You'll not have my children. You'll not devour my grandchildren. You will not prevail in the name of Jesus.
Right now, if you're in a financial wreck, in your relationship with God, you are in the best place you can possibly be. Why? Because it doesn't matter how good the financial advisor is down the street. God is the best financial advisor you and I will ever have in our lives.
You can't sit there and let the devil beat you from pillar to post any longer. Why? Because he's under your feet. He's a defeated foe. And Jesus is saying, don't take that anymore. Don't put up with that anymore. You go, therefore, and you make disciples, you subdue, and you have dominion here on the earth.
Lord, from the inside out, I want it to come out. I want a transformation in my life. I want to see it, and I want to maintain that focus in my life.
Because you need to realize that there are more for you than there are against you. That you are the head, and you are not the tail. You're on top, and you are not the bottom.
That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You will leave this place today, and you will have problems, but I got good news for you. You may have problems on one side, but you've got God on the other.
What is it God is shaking you and saying, don't sleep through it, daughter. Wake up. because there are things happening that I need you to go into battle for.
I don't want you to diminish who you are in the kingdom of God. I don't want you to diminish the sound that you can make for God. I don't want you to say, oh, God will use somebody else. God wants to use you.
But we will finish this race. And we will serve our Lord. And we will see America saved. I believe it with all of my heart.
我认识我的羊.
But Jesus said, I have come that my sheep may have life, an abundant life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
...2014 was such a great year for the church. It was a year of firsts. It was also a year of bringing back things that when the economy had taken a dive and we had to reevaluate to, as a church, what we could and what we could not do. It was a year that we brought back things like our women's conference. For the first time in 4 years, we had our Women Rock Women's Conference. It was our very first Easter sunrise service. We had Man Day. We had Girls Night Out, the biggest Girls Night Out we've ever had. I mean, it was such a dynamic year. And we just want to say thank you for those of you who attended, who were involved, who gave, who got involved, who helped in the ministries or whatever it might be. Together, you and I tell you what, we had made 2014 a dynamic year, and I believe that 2015 is going to be even better on the heels of what God has already done. And so today, looking at this vision or this direction for the church in 2015 to love people more and to do church better, we're going to separate this into two different segments and continue looking at some of the different ministries and some of the different things that we've done in 2014. And I want to talk to you about the first part of that is to love people more. You know, one of the slogans here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center that we've had for 27 years coming up now is to love people to life. We at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, we've always said that, you know, this is a place where that everybody was rejected from somewhere else. It doesn't matter what your walk of life is. It doesn't matter how smart or how, you know, educated you are or not. It doesn't matter how much money you have or how much you don't. This is a place where you've always welcomed. The statement we say is you're always welcome in your Father's house. And so this is a church that's made it a point to love people to life. And so when we make this statement to love people more, what does that mean? For the church, does that mean that a church that feeds 500,000 people, does that mean that we're going to feed more? Does that mean that a church that gives out thousands of backpacks every year, does that mean that we're going to give out more? Does that mean that we're going to do more outreach? Does that mean that we're going to reach more? And I want to encourage you to think about the statement there, to love people more, because the statement is to not love more people, but rather to love people more. You see, there's more than a million people here in the Inland Empire that call this place their home. That's why we pray for our churches across the Inland Empire, because we know that we cannot do this alone and that we need each other. But what we need is genuine love. So when we say that we're going to love people more, what we as a church are committing to do is to go deeper in our relationship with God, to seek after God more so, to go deeper into our relationships, into our connections with each other, to develop relationships across this year like we've never done before, to cultivate an atmosphere where people are comfortable getting to know each other, to love each other more. But beyond loving people more, just as the church and its mission, I want to talk about you and I, because as we discussed last week, we are the church together. So loving people more is not just a statement that this church is going to do, but it's a statement that you and I have got to learn and apply, because it's the vision for us this year, to love people more. But love is not about quantity. Love is about quality. I know, and you know, that you would trade 16,000 Facebook friends for one meaningful connection. Because you know that love is not about quantity. It's not about the amount or the number of people that you have in your life, but it is about the meaning and the fulfillment that you gain from that. And today I want to talk to you about our vision and God's vision for 2015 and what that means for us, His church, you and I, to love people more. God's desire for us is to extend His love to others. But you know, the holiday season can be one of the loneliest seasons of the year. It could be a season where you feel like you've been abandoned. Maybe it was your first year where you haven't, you missed out on a loved one, or they were gone, or it was the first time spending the holidays without somebody, or maybe you felt alone. You know it as well as I know that one of the hardest things to do in life is to reach out to somebody else when we ourselves are going through agony or turmoil in our lives. When we don't feel loved, how can we then extend love to somebody else? But I want to share with you the words of Jesus. Jesus in John, the 13th chapter, after he's lowered himself to the position of a servant, after he's washed the feet of his disciples, Jesus says to his disciples in verse number 34 of John, the 13th chapter, he says, "A new commandment I give to you." You see, a young lawyer had asked Jesus earlier, "What is the greatest commandment in the Bible?" And Jesus says these words. Jesus says, "To love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And he says, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. That was what we as humanity were familiar with, to do something, to do unto others as you would have done to you, the golden rule. But Jesus tells his disciples now, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you love one another as I have loved you. Loving people more this year in your life, loving people more this year in my life, is not about reaching out. It's not about quantity. It's not about touching more lives. Loving people more is about quality. And Jesus gave his disciples a commandment, and he says to love one another, not just as yourself, but now as I have loved you. Which means to you and I that we love because we were first love, as the book of 1 John tells us. That we experience love in our own lives because it was God who first loved us. And I want to encourage you, it's hard to reach out. It's hard to love somebody more when you yourself feel like you're decaying on the inside. But I want to encourage you something today. When you wake up in the morning, when you look at yourself in the mirror, when you go about your daily routine, to set in motion in 2015 a new habit for yourself. You know, every morning my phone goes off, my alarm, and my alarm's on my phone. And because my alarm's on my phone, I've gotten in the habit every morning as I reach over to my bed and I turn off my alarm, that I go to the news app on my phone and I read the headlines. I've made it a habit. Now I know what the headlines are in the morning. If I can make it a habit to look at my phone, if you can make it a habit to brush your teeth or to take a shower or whatever it might be that you do in the morning, to drink a cup of coffee, I want to encourage you this year to begin to make a habit, to look at yourself and to begin to speak over yourself what God speaks about you, that you are loved. I have a little 3-year-old boy. His name is Bjorn. He is like my hero. He's the most fun age right now, 3 years old. He used to be all about mom. Dad was like chopped liver. You know, it was like mom and then Nana and grandma and then the aunties and then the friends and then the food and then the dogs and then anything else in the house. And then after all of that, if that was not around, then it was dad. But now he's kind of realized that dad's the one that's got the tools. Dad's the one that fixes something if it's broken. Dad's the one that'll swing him. Dad's the one that'll get crazy and chase him and tickle him until he cries or whatever it might be. He knows, and so he likes dad. And every night when we try to put him away for bed, every morning we wake up, they're in our bed. I'm like a personal space guy. And every morning I wake up and my little 3-year-old boy is in my bed spooning me. There's been times where I've woke up and there he is looking at me, staring at me. It's a little creepy. It's a little freaky. But you know, my little boy, his personality, he's a real reflective personality. You know, we were at a party for New Year's with a bunch of friends, and all of the kids his age were all playing together in a room, and they were screaming and making a lot of noise. And then there's my son playing with the train by himself, looking at us, and he'd look up at us, and we'd kind of be like, "Hey, what's up?" You know, and he's just that kind of a way. He's a real sensitive, real reflective personality. And my little boy, Bjorn, he'll come up to me, or he'll come up to Stacy, and he'll give us a real big hug. He'll wrap his arms around us, or in the morning, I'll wake up, and he's spooning me, and he's stroking my back. I think it's Stacy, and I'm like, "What's up, girl?" "Whoa, it's my son." And he'll say these words to me. with his eyes looking right into my eyes, he'll just say, "Dad, I love you so much." You know, he didn't learn to say that by watching the Disney Channel. He didn't learn how to say that by going to school and the teachers telling him in his preschool. He didn't learn to say that by reading books or by having things read to him or somebody telling him that. He learned to tell mom and dad, "I love you so much," because mom and dad tell him every day, "Oh, we love you, Bjorn. We think you're just the greatest little boy on the face of this. Bjorn, I think you're just so smart. There's nothing, Bjorn, that you can't do. You're getting so big. You're so strong. Anything that anybody else does, my little boy, you can do as well." And we have taught him, and we have told him, and we have shown him what love is. And now, because he has experienced love from mom and dad, he can say in return, "I love you so much." You see, you might not have another human being on the face of this earth to tell you that they love you. But you have God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, Jesus Christ, the last Adam, the ultimate and perfect human being, who says to you, "I love you." And this year I want to encourage you to begin to speak over your life what God has already said about you. In John 3:16, Jesus tells us, "For God so loved the world." You know what that means? You. Jesus says that there is no love greater than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Who are his friends? You and I. Romans in the 5th chapter says that God demonstrated his love for us, that Jesus died. Romans, the 8th chapter, says that there is nothing on this earth that can separate us from the love of God. And when you look in the mirror in the morning or at night or whatever it might be, I want you to begin to speak over your life what God himself speaks over you, that God loves you. To say about yourself, "I am beautiful. I was created in the image of God Almighty. That I am valuable. That I am worth something. I am worth God's only begotten Son for me. That God loves me." And when you speak over your life what God already speaks about you, you'll begin to experience, you'll remember, you'll recall that God and the price that was paid and the demonstration of God's love through Jesus Christ, and you will feel the love of God in your life when all love may be absent in your life. The greatest of all loves will be present. And then, like a sun that shines down on a flower in the meadow, the flower can't help but to accept and to receive the sunlight. There, you and I cannot help but to accept and to receive the love of God, and then to shine and to display his goodness, his beauty, his desire for those around us. What it really means is that God loved us so much, more than we can handle. You know why? So that we would give it to somebody else. You and I are the vessels in which we display God's love to a lost and dying world. But it begins by remembering and recalling and speaking what God already says about you and I, that God loves you. Love is not about quantity. Love is about quality. In the very 13th, in the first verse of 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, we call this the love chapter. Paul the Apostle talks about love, the greatest of all gifts. And in the first three verses, Paul lays out how important it is to love genuinely, to be real, to experience what true love is. Paul says this in verse number one. I'll read it out of the New Living Translation on the screen, so that way it's a more modern translation. Paul says, "If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I would be a loud, irritating, annoying noise to humanity around me." Verse number two, he says that if I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all of God's secret plans and I possessed all of knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love others, I would be nothing. We could amount to everything. We could give ourselves. We could hoard all the knowledge that humanity can collect and to know. But beyond all that, we could achieve every award, every blessing that you think you could achieve. But without love in your life, it is good for nothing. And in the third verse, Paul the Apostle says this. He says, I can give everything to the poor. And even sacrifice my body. The New King James says, I could give my body to be burned. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love isn't about quantity. It's not about loving more people in your life, but about loving people more. Not because somebody stood at a pulpit and challenged you, but because you remembered. Reflected on the very fact that God loves you more than you can imagine, that you can think, that you can desire. God says, I love you. There will be nothing that will keep my love from you, that I care about you, that I think that you're worth something, that I see value in you. And when you speak that, when you remind yourself of that, when you live that, then you will experience and remember the love of God and be able and capable to share that love with somebody else. And then it won't be just a kind gesture. It won't be just a sacrifice. It will be genuine and from the heart, because the love you experience is genuine and from the heart. We've experienced this in our young adults ministry. We gathered all of our volunteers and all of our leaders together and asked them in 2015, what do you want to see in 2015? They went to different rooms. They had different conversations. They didn't listen to each other talk, or they didn't see it, but they all wrote on a whiteboard what they wanted to see. And you would think with young adults that they would say, I want to see lasers and smoke and louder music, and I want to see this and I want to see. And some of them said that. But you know what every one of them agreed on is the top of their list? They wanted to see genuine relationships in 2015. They wanted to have genuine worship to God. They wanted to make genuine connections with others in the church in 2015. Why? Because God has set on the inside of us a desire to love and to be loved. Jim Elliot said, I don't want to just be loved. I want to be told that I am loved. God loves you, and you need to remember this year. As you wake up every morning, say over yourself what God says. I am a child of God. God loves me. God cares about me. God's desire is to see me succeed and to not fail. And as you do, you will begin to experience every day the love of God that overflows in your heart so that you can love people more in your life. Here at the Rock Church, we are all about reaching out. That's why we call this the World Outreach Center. We want to look back now in 2014 at some of the different outreach ministries and some of the different opportunities that we've had to love those around us in our community. So draw your attention to the screens and look at 2014.
Census Bureau recently released its figures on the most impoverished large cities in the country. San Bernardino came in number 2.
So not good news out here in San Bernardino. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, San Bernardino is number 2.
3 people were hurt in a shooting at a laundromat today in San Bernardino.
Police in San Bernardino are trying to solve a murder mystery tonight. The investigation involves 2 separate homicides that were committed within 5 minutes of each other.
Police pursuit started in San Bernardino.
A chaotic scene out here. A lot of frightened people had to hit the deck as these shots were fired. Fired shots went through that window, and an innocent bystander caught up in the crossfire, and 2 others suffered bullet wounds.
This is a city map of San Bernardino, and what outlines is the main gangs in the
and
city.
Some other stats from the U.S. Census Bureau. The 3 most impoverished cities in the Inland Empire: San Bernardino, Hesperia, and Paris.
Waterman Avenue in San Bernardino, and headed north, then onto Hospitality Lane. You know, between law enforcement and 2 murder suspects. Ended with 1 suspect dead, 1 hospitalized, and a CHP officer with a gunshot wound to the leg.
Looking down on our broken city, our King sees a world in need of a Savior. Through the blood of His Son and the redemption of the cross, His promises transform from words on a page to a reality seen. We no longer walk amongst the lost, but bring light into dark places. For our God has become our answer, and we have become His hands in His divine plan for all of humanity.
Scripture to launch out for on doing church better. Because as the people of God, as Christians, we're known as a people by God, not by the world, but by God Himself, as a people who can fix anything, that we will repair the streets, and we will be a restorer of the breach. And so when we take a look at doing church better, you know, let me first of all tell you what doing church better is not, okay? That is not a pompous, arrogant, rude statement that we're better than other churches. That guy down the street might be cool, but we're cooler, or that they may have a nice facility, but ours is better. That's not what we're saying, okay? Let me give you a case in point example. Just today when Pastor Luke was on his knees today praying for us, as we got ready to receive the word, you heard him pray, and you hear us pray every time we get into the word, that we're not any better than anybody else, but we see ourselves as co-laborers and workers together in one field, building one kingdom, and that's the Lord's kingdom. And so that's how we view ourselves. We're not better. Listen, we may be different, but there's a beautiful diversity in the body of Christ. And there's a church out there for every need, for every person, for every community. And we are uniquely us, and we celebrate and honor the diversity in the body of Christ. So then what does doing church better really mean for us? Well, simply put, can I say it to you like this? Better. Better than last year. We're going to do church better than last month. We're going to do church better than last week. In fact, how about this one? I want to do church better than yesterday. I want to continuously be improving on what we're doing. If something's broke in the ministry, we're going to take a look at it. We're going to see if it's not working, if it's something that God doesn't want us to do. We might scrap some things that aren't working any longer. We might change them. We might update them. We might rearrange them. Maybe something ain't broke. You know, you heard the old statement, if it ain't broke, well, we might still improve on it. Even if it's not broke, even if we're looking at it going, hey, you know what, we could do this better. We could do this more efficient. We could love more people by loving people more. We could reach out in a greater reach. We could do more. We could get the gospel out there even more. We could serve our community better and love people in a new and fresh way. And the way that happens is found in the book of 2 Corinthians. You got your Bibles? Turn there with me to 2 Corinthians, this time to the third chapter. I want to take a look at three verses in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, finding out how we're going to do church better. See, it would be one thing if I came and I told you, oh, the church is going to do this, and the church is going to do that, and you know, we had these great events, and things are happening, and we're going to do this year. You all would say, amen, you guys go do it. But you didn't come to church just to spectate. You came to church to participate. You are the body of Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse number 1, it says this: do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation or letters of recommendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? See, in the Apostle Paul's day, there were people that traveled around and they considered themselves to be the super apostles. And they would go out and they would minister, and the gifts of the Holy Ghost were there. And after they would minister, they would ask the church that they were ministering at, can you give us a letter so that we can go down to this other church over here and we want to minister there too? And to them, it was kind of the game. You know what I mean? It was the church game. And they would be hopping around from place to place. And the Corinthians had kind of bought into this a little bit. And they started wondering about the Apostle Paul. And, well, he's not really like these other guys. These are superstars. These are the super apostles. And so the Apostle Paul comes along and says, that's a bunch of foolishness. Do we really need a letter of recommendation to you? When I come to you, do I need to have a letter from the Church of Laodicea saying the Apostle Paul is a good guy? Or should I be getting a letter from you that the Apostle Paul came and ministered and he worked miracles, signs, and wonders? Do I need that from you? Well, look at verse number 2. He answers the question. He says, you are our epistle. You're our letter. Written in our hearts, known and read by all men. So what does that mean? That means he says the mark of our ministry is what's coming out of us. The mark of our ministry is the fruit that's being produced in your lives. And when people look at your lives, they'll see whether or not we're the real deal. They'll see whether or not we are sufficient as ministers. The world likes to call this brand messengers, you know, that if you go out and you tell someone about a product that you enjoy, that's brand messaging. See, you as you go out from the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, you're not a brand messenger. You are a letter that is written on your hearts of whether or not this is a good church or not. Let's take a look at it in verse number 3. Look at what he says. Clearly, openly, manifestly, the King James Version says, clearly you are an epistle or a letter of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Can I say it to you like this? God is writing a love letter to the world. He's writing a letter to the Inland Empire. And he's writing that letter on your heart. And when you go out and you live your life in the Inland Empire, when you come into the house of God and you live your life here at church, you are the letter that God has written that is going to tell people about Jesus, that's going to show them his love, that's going to reveal his redemptive power, and that's going to carry the message of the gospel to the nations and to the worlds. Come on, you just missed a great opportunity to say amen. God wants to use your life. He wants to write a story on your heart. See, this month of January, we're calling a fast. And I would invite you guys to participate with us in some form or fashion. Some of the leadership's doing all month, doing different things. Now, that doesn't mean we're not eating any food. You know, we're still doing some things. Some of the leadership's going to do like the Daniel fast thing, you know. Some guys are going to do 10 days, some 21 days. Some are going to miss a meal here and there and take that time to pray. Some are, you know, not going to eat like after 7 o'clock or something like that. If that's hard for you, you know, you can consider that and think about that. Plan and prepare. What do I want to do? And what's the purpose of fasting? Well, the purpose of fasting is so that you can draw near to God, so that you can silence those appetites in your life that are constantly screaming at you from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed. See, you don't even know that they're talking to you until you stop eating. All of a sudden, whoa, wait a second, we're hungry. Well, we need to go eat something, you know? I was watching a movie the other day. I saw the guy in the movie take something, put it in his mouth, and I was like, where's the food, you know? Hypersensitive because I'm fasting. And so I would encourage you guys, draw near to God and fast and silence those appetites so that you can clearly hear the voice of God for your life. Last week we were challenged to take some time to pray about our place in the body of Christ. See, as you take that time out and you fast and you pray, God is going to start to write a beautiful story on your heart. And God's going to write the script of your life. God has plans. God has purpose. God has a destiny. God's got a great 2015 ahead. And God knows the way to do church better. And he's going to write it on you and you and you and you and you and you and you. You say, okay, well, Pastor, I'm good with that. I want to do that. I want to get involved. Now, what's it going to look like? Ah, glad you asked the question. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter this time. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4, a couple of verses. Verse number 10 and verse number 11 says this in 1 Peter chapter 4. Starting out verse number 10, he says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, we will come back to these thoughts because I want to bring a point here, but I want you to take a look at verse number 11 quickly. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So what he's saying is, I don't want you doing this in your own strength. I want you to get the script and get God's word and take that word and you minister it as God's word. I want you to get the script and take the strength that God supplies and go minister the God script here in church and in the Inland Empire as well as around the world. Now, back to verse number 10. Take a look at it. He says, as each one has received a gift. Did you know that when you were born, that God made you and formed you, uniquely crafted you in your mother's womb? He created your personality. He made you who you are. And therefore, when you got born again, God knew you in that womb as well, and God formed and fashioned you. And when you were born again, the Bible says that God gave you gifts. There was a grace that was placed on your life that was instilled in you, and now you have a gifting. You say, wait, Pastor, maybe you're talking about someone else, but I can't sing, I can't preach, I'm not one of those, those out in front people, I'm just little old me. Well, did you know that God wants to use little old you to do the work of the ministry? See, that's what we're here for, is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, and that causes growth to the body. That means we do church better when all of us get in our spot. You say, but Pastor, you must be talking about this guy next to me, because me, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. All I do is sit at home all day changing poopy diapers. Well, I'm here to tell you, I got good news for you. We have a ministry that changes poopy diapers. Pastor, hold on. I'm not good with the kids, and I'm not really smart, and I just work at the grocery store bagging groceries. Well, I have good news to tell you. The FTC would love to talk to you about helping some people out with some groceries. Pastor, I'm not a people person. I don't like being around people. I like computers and stuff like that, and that's why I got a job in the IT industry, and so I'm behind the scenes type of person. Listen, we got ministries that work with computers. We got check-in techs. We got all sorts of stuff. Whatever it is that God has placed in your hand. Remember Moses? Moses, here comes Moses, sees the burning bush, turns aside. God starts to speak to him. I'm going to deliver the children of Israel. I'm going to use you to do it. Moses says, whoa, wait. But God, I stutter. What does God say? He says, what's in your hand? He's got a shepherd's staff in his hand. He's an outcast. He was a prince of Egypt, but now he's a running man. He's a wanted man. And 40 years he's been in the desert hanging out with sheep. God says, with this staff, I will deliver the children of Israel. Throw it down on the ground. He throws it down, turns into a snake. He says, pick it back up. He picks it back up. It turns back into a rod. That same rod is the one that he passes over the waters and they turn to blood. That same rod is the one that he raises up and the armies of Israel win the battle. That same staff is the one that he opens up over the Red Sea and it parts. See, what is in your hand, God wants to use to minister to a lost and dying world. I was on the phone on Friday with the utility company. You guys know how that goes. And I was bracing myself for a really long waiting time, so I had my cell phone on me, and I plugged it into some earphones. I put those in my ears, and so I was just talking to them as I'm taking down Christmas at the house and, putting the tree away and garland and all that kind of stuff. And so, it's taking a long time, and I'm rocking out to their hold music while I'm waiting. And finally, I get on the phone with somebody and start working things out and seeing what we can do. And they say, I'm sorry, I can't do that for you. The computer won't let me. That's not my department. Let me transfer you to someone else. So I'm rocking out to the music again, taking down Christmas, doing my thing. Finally, I get on the phone with a lady, very nice lady. I was very impressed, very professional, very helpful, helped me to accomplish my goals. I didn't want my bill to go up. I wanted to upgrade some services, wasn't, quite getting what I needed, and really wanted the bill to go down, but in order to get better service, it was all kind of a wash, end up paying a dollar more a month. I can live with that if I'm getting better service, I'm getting better taken care of. And so she did a really good job. Wrapped it all up, and I'm waiting for her to say, Mr. Roth, are there any more questions or anything else that I can help you with today so that she can say goodbye? That's the script at the end of every call that you have to the utility company. And so I'm waiting for that. She didn't do that, though. After we wrapped everything up, I said, hey, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. You've done an excellent job. She said, Mr. Roth, thank you for being the best part of our company. I almost cried. I was shocked. It was the first compliment I had ever received from a utility company, let alone this one, and y'all know who I'm talking about right now, okay? Because we have had more sermon illustrations out of this one utility company than any other company, so you guys know who I'm talking about. And I was amazed. I was floored. I was like, wow. And even though I know that she was just reading the script, it still blessed me. Still made an impact. I told my wife about it. I've been preaching about it all weekend. That's what kind of an impact it made on me. Listen, church, can I tell you something? Can I read the God script for the Rock Church and World Outreach Center for a second? You and you and you and you and you are the best part of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. You are. Plain and simple, you are the best part. You know why? Because as you get into the presence of God and develop your heart, as you draw near and God starts to write that script on your heart, and you live out the God script with what's in your heart and what's in your hand, you become the best part of the Rock Church World Outreach Center. Not the preaching, not the music, not the facility, even though all of that stuff is excellent. You are the best part of the Rock Church World Outreach Center. Together, as we live out the God script, we are going to do church better. Did you guys get something from the Word of God today? Come on, let's praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.